Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, here from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I'm Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, sitting in alongside Cam Jansen and TJ Moe.
So romantic.
Soothing.
Good Lord.
Yes, sir.
Cam, why don't we come back to this in our show?
We should.
Oh, We've always got the, like, hard rock, crazy.
I like the hard rock, but you guys like country and all that.
Yeah, I like NSYNC.
You like NSYNC?
Yeah.
You like those boy bands?
You know what's funny? Somebody, actually this happens every so often now, that because we joke about that, every time somebody goes to, like, Ballpark Village and Call Me Maybe is playing, they're like, is this TJ Moe's playlist?
Well, you said you kind of defended the honor of Iggy Azalea yeah, earlier, Iggy. So you did do that.
And Meghan Trainor a little bit.
But I don't judge. I'm a Justin Bieber fan. So
you're a believer.
I've gotten.
Are you really though?
I've caught a lot of heat. Oh no, really? Yeah, I think
really?
He's really talented.
I think he's talented.
I'm a fan.
Have you heard him and Ludacris? I know Gardner. I don't know if he used it for the writer's block or not, but it was
rest in peace.
Ludacris and. Bieber with
the Christmas song,
Christmas the Nutcracker,
Carol?
Yeah,
it's great all time. One of the all time Christmas carols. I don't know if you guys have heard it. Might have to check that out on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's a cult classic.
I was supposed to interview Ludacris last Friday.
It might have been Busta Rhymes. I think it might have been Busta Rhymes over Ludacris.
But I put a kibosh on that because I really don't.
Why was that? He just hosted the Billboard.
That's what I was interviewing him about. They made him available, and I don't know anything about the guy's music, and I'd never seen.
What do you mean?
Fast
roll out? He's got a really successful chain of chicken and waffle restaurants.
Yeah. Well, I could have done 10 minutes on that.
Well, who did you just go talk to?
No, 9 o'clock. I'm interviewing Loretta Swit.
Oh, I'm sorry. You want to talk to Loretta? Who?
Well, yeah.
Who is that?
I was a big MASH fan. Hot Lips.
But you don't want to talk to Luda?
I don't listen to his music. I know nothing about him. I've never seen a Fast and Furious, so I don't know anything about him.
He's like 15.
Even if you just went on like success alone, you should want to talk to him. He's like incredibly rich and successful.
But I don't know anything about him. I mean, I could BS my way through it, but why?
I would enjoy the interview. I like Ludacris.
And he hasn't been naked, so that's the reason I usually talk to most
people. He's an actor, too.
I guarantee he's been naked somewhere publicly.
In a movie, no.
How do you know that?
He watches Fast and Furious.
Did he get naked in Fast and Furious? I don't know. Did he? I've never seen him on Mr. Skin.
TJ would have known.
That's the only porn I watch him on Fast and Furious.
But I don't believe Loretta Swit's ever gotten naked, but I can ask her if she's ever gotten naked.
How old is she?
And then I can ask her if she's ever thought about it.
82?
Nah.
It's hot.
70-ish, maybe?
Oof. Oof.
Cam, the text line thinks you're pretty hot. They want to know if you're the new Doug.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I am.
I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that, Cam. You'll be hounded. The text line also wants to know about when Iggy hooked up with Marilyn Monroe. You got any deets on that, Iggy?
No, that never happened.
I think there were some people calling BS about your story.
What story?
The one about the gorgeous girl coming to see you at the baseball game and you were
hit 400.
I said I kind of, embellished the hitting 400 the rest of the game. Because I wasn't a great hitter. I was a great defensive second baseman, but I couldn't hit.
But your OBP was probably 400.
No, I didn't take a lot of walks.
Okay. He was a grinder, professional.
I tried to bunt quite a bit.
Hey, he didn't hit his way onto the varsity squad. Or he didn't walk his way onto the varsity
squad. But I did. She was hot, and she was probably the most popular freshman in the school.
Yeah, believe you. Yeah. We believe you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Nobody else does. I don't really care. I tell stories, you either believe them or you don't believe them. They're all true, but if you don't want to believe them, that's your prerogative.
That's what I say. I think that to be the Post-Dispatch motto.
Yeah.
Believe them if you want. If you don't, go take a walk.
Well, I've had a pretty interesting...
You know what we do have to hit on? I know we have somewhere else to go, but at some point, we never did, Ben Fred, that article I was poking you about on Twitter.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Who made you write that?
Yeah, yeah.
Who made you write that? Right. I mean,
no,
seriously.
No, seriously.
That offended you? You looked at that article and said, I'm offended by this.
Tell the people, at least
tweet.
Tell the people what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, the tweet was,
sorry.
The tweet was sent out by the Cardinals. It was a commemoration of the 1967 World Series. They were handing out rings. So they sent out a picture and they said, you love baseball, she loves jewelry, let's have some fun. Something like that. And Ben Friend was offended.
Oh, God. That was a tough one to read.
All I'll say is, I don't think the Cardinals, when they sent it, considered the fact that it was going to annoy some of their female fans. And all I'm saying is when you have a Twitter account that has a million people and 40-plus percent of your fans are women, you might want to consider, okay, is this going to piss any of them off?
It was probably a girl that tweeted it, too.
I think there's a chance that I wasn't in the street going why but I think to me
to me
more than anything it showed kind of like the fact that the Cardinals they need to have a little more thoughtful process on some of the stuff that they sent out.
I'm just trying to figure out why that's even offensive the girls that are already liking baseball they're obviously not talking to them they're talking to the girls that aren't there so they can. The guy, couldn't we have written an article asking why, how they could possibly thought that you could send this out to guys and offend them because they don't love jewelry?
Yes, but I love jewelry.
Sure, okay. But also I've heard from people from women who either work in the industry or are fans of teams who constantly feel like, and we do this, like you can't say that we don't do this, I'm talking men as a whole, either talk down to them when they're trying to talk about sports or don't respect their opinions and they feel like some of them, again, not all, feel like they're overlooked as fans, they're overlooked as consumers of sports, and all that this did was give them another example of that to some of them. So I think you can say, you know, was this the worst thing that ever happened in the history of the world? No. But you can also say, look, when you're broadcasting your product to a large fan base, you might want to consider the fact that it's going, what you say might alienate some of them.
I mean, there's only so many words you could type in a Twitter thing.
And it's also hard to, like, I can't say every single thing. Like, it's probably not long enough to say, you love jewelry, so does she. You love baseball, so does she. Everyone loves everything. Let's have fun.
Don't do it. I mean, just come up with a smarter pitch. That was my thing.
You've got to pitch something.
You don't have to think about jewelry.
I thought it was a great pitch.
As a baseball team, you don't have to, you know, put women up in this kind of stereotypical pitch where they say, the assumption is that they only are there for, or that they don't want to go to watch the game. So I guess, I hear your opinion and I respect it. I also respect, what I respect more are women that I've talked to or heard from. We said, look, you know, this is somewhat annoying because we're kind of tired of teams, of sports, of the sports industry, not valuing the fact that we care about the games, we care about the lineup, we care about the X's and O's behind it. We're not just there to look at guys' butts.
Teams, well, some of them are. But
sure, some of them are.
I am.
I sit
in left field right behind Gretchen.
You're sitting in Doug's seat, so I understand.
Well, that means somebody, when the texter said I'm not a virgin then anymore. That's what happens when you sit in Doug's seat.
I think if you went to the Cardinals and said, look, did you think that one through, they would say no. And the reason would be is that I think they heard from enough people that said, look, and obviously some people took it far in terms of like, oh my God, how could you, that wasn't my intention. My intention was you might want to think about the message that you're sending because I don't know that people realize what large percentage of the fan base are women. And if you send something out like that can alienate them, that's not a very smart business move.
I hear what you're saying.
I just think everybody's so sensitive these days. It's outrageous. I go to Kate and I go, look at this tweet. I go, what do you think of that? She's like, what do you want me to look at? I'm like, just read it. What do you think? She's like, I don't know. Jewelry. I like jewelry. Okay.
But I don't like that ring and I don't want it.
I don't want that. I want you to buy me something different. I'm like, oh, okay. No, that's not the point. But is that offensive? Like, she's like, I have no idea what I'm even looking at.
How many? Okay. Jared's. Is Zales or Jared's marketing to men? No, because when you think about jewelry, girls are like, I want a big diamond.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, you're not handing out diamonds here, but it does make sense when you're saying jewelry, women like jewelry. And they're obviously not marketing to the women that are there just for baseball. What they're trying to do is bring more women in. Not tell the ones that are there that they're not important. They're saying there are women who don't like baseball and they probably still like jewelry. Let's bring them.
Yes.
I don't think it was thought out that much. And I think what they should have maybe thought about is that you don't need to look at your advertising as men and or women. You need to look at it as baseball fans. And when you're assuming baseball fans that you're talking to men or that your followers are men, the thing that was sent out was almost read as if all the Cardinals followers were men.
But
we're talking about a tweet, and in the grand scheme of life, is it the biggest thing in the world? No. But nothing that we talk about is that's kind of what annoys me. People go, well, that's not a big deal. Well, you spend 30 minutes talking about who the Cardinals should bat second every day.
Hey, that's a big deal.
That's not a big deal.
I like Wong.
You know, so if we're really going to only talk about quote unquote big deals, then we're not going to have anything to talk about write about or anything.
Just don't be sensitive.
So here's the other thing though. Broad brush marketing doesn't work. And that is why you do it. Like, to say, like, let's just talk about baseball and let's talk about everything. That doesn't work because you have to find find ways to bring in new consumers, and in order to do that, you have to go find people of a certain age, you have to go find people of a certain gender, of a certain race, and you have to market specifically to them and based on what they like. And everybody doesn't like the same things, contrary to popular belief, when everybody wants us all to be the same gender, and the same look, and the same race, and the same opinion. We don't have that.
It was a bad tweet. And it was a bad tweet. You know it was a bad tweet because the reaction they got, and they took it down. So if they wouldn't have, if, I mean,
I just need a little bit more. I'm trying to, with all the sensitivity training and all this stuff, I'm trying to understand it. I just need more. You got to give me just a little more for me to understand this how this offends anybody. Not just on this specific thing, but everything as a whole.
No, but it's not everything as a whole. But let's talk about this specific thing.
Okay.
So you have a daughter, your friend, your wife, whatever, is a you know, diehard fan of Cardinals baseball.
She loves jewelry.
Okay, that's fine. Well, you know somebody who is. She's kept score at the game. She you know, gets the lineup every day to fix her fantasy team. She's in. She's all in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a lot of the guys that we know who are. She's a huge baseball fan. She feels like she's never given a chance. Every time she goes out, I mean, hear me out. Every time she goes out to a sports bar and the discussion turns to the Cardinals, she feels like all the guys in the room start talking over her. Never, as she tries to chime in, she gets drowned out. You know, she looks on TV, she hardly sees any women on TV talking about sports. It's getting better. She hardly sees any women in sports management, any roles. So, and then the Cardinals, the team that she loves, sends out this tweet that basically stereotypes, categorizes women in the tweet, in the sense of a tweet. It's one small thing. I know the context can't all be in a tweet, but it shows women going to baseball games because they, you know, are gazing at their ring. You don't think you think she's wrong for being like, man, that's my team. I'm all in on baseball. I don't really want to be pursued as someone who loves jewelry. You don't think you see where I'm coming from?
Not at all.
Okay. That's fine.
I do understand your take. I just don't agree with that, but it does make sense, and I know a lot of people agree with you.
Okay. That's where I'm at with it. Well, I mean, here's what I heard a lot about that column is like people going, well, this isn't a big deal. And I never said it was the biggest deal in the world. But if we're going to, who decides what a big deal is? To one of those people, it might have been a bigger deal. It's obviously to the Cardinals, it was a big enough deal to take it down. But like, when you decide, like, that's a really easy argument to say when you don't agree with something. It's like, well, that's not a big deal.
But if that's such a big deal to them, then who cares about them anyway? If they're so worried about that, you're
okay,
not
that's
gonna,
a bad
well, see,
marketing
that's a,
practice.
This is an example of what I'm talking about, though.
Listen,
you're not gonna be able to cater to
while
them.
I'm with
you're
yes,
gonna be sensitive
you,
one way or the other.
While I agree with that, that's a bad marketing strategy to say who cares about them. As a corporation who's trying to get everybody, the Twitter account with a million followers, you always want to not offend people. However, you can't not, then you just can't tweet at all. Don't even open a Twitter feed because you're going to offend somebody no matter what you say. While we're talking about that, let's talk about sildenafil, where you don't ever offend anybody.
Everybody can agree on this.
It is the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering something I know a lot about.
Yeah, you do.
Offering the same results, but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020 or online at goldsmithmcp.com. Cam, you gotta try this out, Cam. Although you're doing some Mantality. Can you imagine mixing sildenafil with Mantality?
Oh my god.
Holy
so juiced. He's jacked up like crazy.
Real quick, to touch on that. Honestly, it's just for me, I get what you're saying. I do. I am just the most non-sensitive guy in the world, and I just kind of completely grew up differently. These people that get so sensitive by so many different things, I don't understand it, and I try to because it's a huge topic now, man, all over with all kinds of different things. So that's all my point was. But can I talk about something real quick? Can I do one live real quick? What's the newest Scotch whiskey taking over the world by storm? Monkey Shoulder, the official Scotch of the morning after, with a cheeky disregarded for a tradition and a commitment of unconventional serves, Monkey Shoulder looks to bring great Scotch whiskey to a new generation of whiskey drinkers. It's 100% malt whiskey, a unique blend of three single malts, creating a smooth and versatile flavor like no other. Monkey Shoulder tastes just as good on the rocks as it does into the fresh cocktail. Monkey Shoulder whiskey, not your original whiskey like Doug. More original, like Tim.
It's
great stuff.
That's, I've been then you gotta hit the hours. You gotta hit the McKernan gong when you when
fun.
You read that one.
We'll
just break it. That's okay.
I was supposed to read that, and Cam said, "You ever have one of those?" Because I love that crap, and so I gave it to him to read because I have never had Scotch.
It's great in the morning too.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah,
is it in your coffee? Is that what you've been
absolutely,
giving to Iggy?
Dude. Last 3 hours.
What is in your thermos, Iggy?
Well, I'm drinking Cam's coffee today, but I can only drink like a half a cup because I don't know, you put in 12 cups and 35 spoons of coffee, maybe?
That's what I do.
Well, I'm thinking I like it. I feel a lot better since I had a cup of it. I'm like, I'm jazzed.
I have other things in there, too.
I emptied the carriage and pulled a groin lifting that thing out of there.
Wait for an hour, see how you feel.
No, I'm just used to weak coffee.
Oh.
So I only drink a half a cup. That's fine. Instead of drinking two cups.
Cam, Mike.
Yes.
We got any texts rolling in on that?
On what we just talked about?
Yeah.
Did the Cardinals, from Painter Guy, did the Cardinals take it down before or after Ben Fred's article? I think they took it down, like, right away.
They took it down before.
Yes.
And here's another thing, too, is that, I don't know, we can go behind the curtain here a little bit. My initial thought on it was, okay, a million people have piled on this. My thought was, okay, the Cardinals deleted it, so clearly there was a discussion that happened. I reached out to the Cardinals to say, hey, this enough people are talking about it. The Washington Post has written about it. Sports Illustrated has a story about it. I was like,
of course they are.
I was like, you guys want to explain kind of what happened here? And I initially thought that there was going to be some sort of discussion about, hey, here's what played out. Here's why we took it down. This is the thought process behind it. Instead, the Cardinals' reaction was to send a statement that kind of was along the lines of, we understand some people may have been offended. You know, we blah, 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 blah. And it was like this most like generic thing. It was like, so clearly you thought you made a mistake because you took it down, right? You don't delete something if you don't agree with what you did. But yet the inability to just say, hey, screw that one up. We didn't realize the reaction.
They might not think they screwed it up, though, which I think is fine.
Then why take it down?
Well, because you don't think... Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. So, like, although I might still think it's fine and take it down based on the reaction. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to say this was a terrible thing to do. It just didn't work for us in the marketing thing, so we took it down.
My point was that I was hoping to have a discussion about the whole thing.
Sure.
They didn't want to do that.
Do you think did tweet that out got fired?
No.
I hope the hell not.
No, of course I don't think so.
Scott's wrinkled.
But I think there was a discussion about, hey, what we need to be more conscientious and monitor what we send out because there are a lot of people who speak for the voice of the Cardinals and one mistake can go to a million people like that. I mean, that's something we've all learned on social media, right?
Ben Fred, Scott's wrinkled ball sack says,
oh, that's nice.
Hey, Ben, what's your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid? Hopefully bleach at this rate. Stop this silly convo on the Cards tweet, you snowflake.
Oh.
Here is one from a woman, Cam, and probably aimed at you after, and probably me. It's just another little thing among so many from 314 that is annoying to women. Stop saying that everyone, women and Ben Fred, are so overly sensitive. We never said that it's a big deal. We said it's a small deal added to a large pile of reminders that we're not part of the club, and it's just exhausting.
Yeah, I hear you on that. That's fine.
So you're telling me that people have different opinions?
Timmy Tom says Iggy has chloroform in his thermos.
Well, he texts all the time. I told him, I said, I love your text. I'm sorry, I'm preparing for the SWID interview.
You're just ignoring us to talk with the MASH woman. What is going on here?
I care, man.
I'm just trying to, there's a lot of things she needs to promote, but I'm just trying to come up with a few MASH.
See, this is what Iggy has to do. He has to get these celebrities on and he has to sift through the promotional BS to get the good stuff out of them, right?
Cam.
Yo.
Right City Lemming says two straight conservative white guys can't understand why someone's offended. What a surprise. Oh, they think we're straight?
He thinks we're straight? What the hell's wrong with him? Straight is a question mark.
You guys do see the irony in this, though, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Three men sitting around talking about what's offensive to women? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I guess. You're tied into that, though.
I'm including myself in this.
That's fine. I do think people get to use logic to say that makes sense or that doesn't make sense. I think, okay, then nobody can ever comment on any other race or religion or gender or anything else. I think you can use logic to say, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense, no matter what you are. And to take people out of that, then, is very divisive.
Okay, well, let's also use logic to say that, in general, sports is a male-dominated field that may need to be a little more aware of how it talks to and how it, you know, delivers a message to women who are a big portion of the consumer market.
But that's broad brush, and I don't work that way. You have to look at each individual situation and say, this worked, this didn't work. You can't just say, nothing ever works, this is terrible, we're doing a bad job.
No, I'm incorporating nuance in that. I think maybe being a little more mindful of that fact that maybe we should think about things a little bit more. That's all I'm saying. That was hopefully the point of what I wrote.
I think that's a good life lesson to say that you should probably be more cognizant of what you're saying to people and how it's going to come off. But I don't think you just look holistically and say, everybody mistreats everybody, this is a terrible place.
No, I'm not. I'm with you on that. I'm waiting for Cam to come around and tell me he agrees with me. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I do understand. Actually, I have.
No, and we had a good discussion about it on Twitter. See, that's the thing, too, is like,
That was funny. You and I are kind of joking and having fun, and everybody else is really.
Like, that's actually one of my hot takes here is that we've gotten to a point now where like we can't have these kind of discussions. Like I enjoy these kind of discussions,
absolutely,
because we can disagree and we can agree to disagree and we can have a good talk. But the like that doesn't exist on social media at all. You can't disagree with something without being called a snowflake or a crazy or a crazy racist. Yeah. It's just nuts. So,
tell you this,
I enjoy the conversation. I'm glad we had it.
I will say this. Me and TJ were talking about you, and we're kind of discussing that whole thing. And he did tweet it out. And we're like, gosh. And then all of a sudden it kind of blew up. We're like, whoa. Binfred, we love you to death, man. We know like, you're a great guy and all that stuff like that. Because you tweet something out and you disagree with somebody. I mean, it goes from nothing to extreme just like that. And we just kind of want to let you know that. We still like you, Binfred. We do.
I love you guys.
The Hunchback of Von Castle says, I love how Cam brags about being insensitive, but... And I don't think unsensitive is a word. Is it insensitive? But his own show doesn't give him access to text line since they know it will upset him so much. Which is not true, because you stare at Maddie's computer the entire show.
The whole time. I don't know that. That's why I don't get my kids.
The text line, you're either in or you're out. So I can understand being both ways on that. But we are going to get to somebody who can have a baseball discussion with. Jim Bowden joins us now, former MLB Executive of the Year. He's an XM radio host. We've had him on the station many times to talk Cardinals baseball and the league as a whole. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
We wanted to, I guess, just kind of start out by getting your overall take on these Cardinals. The 3-9 start had a lot of people in St. Louis ready to freak out. I think there were some people standing on the edge going, oh, my God, they're going to tank. They're going to sell. They're going to never make the postseason again. They got it together. Now they're in a bit of a rut again here, losing this series to the Dodgers. Incredible starting pitching. Everything else has been a little up in the air. Kind of what's your read on the Cardinals here kind of at the quarterway point?
You know, in spring training, I predicted the Cardinals would finish in second and win 85 games. And from what I've seen, I think that's going to probably be pretty close to where they finish. A chance for a wild card. You know, the starting pitching has been great outside of Adam Wainwright, as you know. And I think that's been great that Mike Leake has taken his game to another level. Lance Lynn has proven that, you know, he's fine back from Tommy John. Carlos Martinez has shown us the flashes of the ace that he should be and will be and can be. So that part's really good. But as you mentioned, you know, you look at this team offensively, the one thing that bothered me coming into the season is they don't have that hitter that can carry the team. You know, they don't have that Albert Pujols or Matt Holliday or Carlos Beltran, the hitter that's going to carry you for 2 to 3 weeks when everyone else is slumping. And I think that is really missed. And then, of course, to start the year, at least the first 2 months, they're just not getting the production from the outfield that they need. And Piscotty and Fowler and Grichuk just have not lived up to the expectations. And that's something that's going to have to change if the Cardinals are going to see October baseball.
Jim, I think a lot of Cardinals fans are hoping to trade for a guy that you were talking about that can hit in the middle of the lineup there. Who are some of the names that might make sense for that trade, and who might the Cardinals have to give up to get them?
No, I mean, it's a great question. You know, I think we know that Ryan Braun is one guy that's been mentioned, but of course he has 10-5 rights, I would think, even though I think California would be his choice. I do think he would waive the no trade if he had a chance to go to St. Louis, and we know he's going to be available. The Blue Jays keep telling people that even if they don't get back in the race, they're not going to move Josh Donaldson, but I do think Donaldson would be a good fit. Of course, that would mean Jerko would have to move to second base, but I think he's a guy that could get out there and could become available at some point. But, you know, there's not a lot of those impact-type bats available. It's not something that's going to be really a lot of guys like that when we get to the trade deadline.
Jim, I have to ask your thoughts on signing international players. I know with Luis Robert, I know the Cardinals, quote-unquote, I guess people are saying they missed out on him, I guess. Mo Zalak thought it was a little bit too pricey for them, along with the, I think it was $50 million plus tax. What are your thoughts on these players getting these insane amount of money coming into, I guess he's only 19 years old, and would you as an executive or a GM make these type of moves with this much money on the line?
It's a great question, and certainly it is a lot of money, but I'll also tell you that, you know, if you look at some of the fourth outfielders in baseball that are getting $8 to $10 million a year, they end up making 40 or 50 over a five-year period. So, you know, we have to also put in perspective of what we play veteran, mediocre players. You know, the thing about Robert is he's got great upside. He's got a chance to be a star player. He's got a chance to be a Yoenis Cespedes. So if you knew that that's what the player is going to be, then the $50 million seems reasonable. The problem with this is there's risk involved. And what if 3 years from now he doesn't hit? What if all of a sudden big league breaking balls he can't get to? You know, that's the one thing when you sign a guy like Robert, that's the one thing you don't know. You know all the tools. You know his makeup. You know his intelligence. You know all the tools are there. But the only thing you don't know for sure is how much is he going to hit? You don't know that. If everyone knew that Jose Abreu was going to be a 300 guy, you know, the White Sox wouldn't have gotten him for the price that they did. So, you know, that is the risk is involved there. You know, I think if I'm a team like St. Louis and I have the resources, this is the kind of guy you do overpay for because he's got a chance to be, based on the scouts I talked to at least, I've only seen him on video, but he's got a chance to be a player that would have been top five in this year's draft. So if I had a chance to get that kind of young 19-year-old player to put in my pipeline, it would be pretty exciting to dream about having Robert and Sierra in the future in St. Louis. So, yeah, I think they missed out. Is it a slam dunk for $50 million that you were going to get a star player? No. But for a 19-year-old kid, he has as good a chance of any of being what the scouts think he's going
to
be.
I agree with you on that. I think you bake in the fact that the Cardinals did not have to go up against the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox in that race because of the way the international draft recruiting worked out because the penalties in the past. And you also throw in the fact that they're not going to get a first round pick next year because of the hacking penalty. It made a lot of sense, and it kind of in St. Louis here it's recreated this debate about the Cardinals finishing runner-up. You look at Price, you look at Hayward, and obviously some of those Pujols, it was better to be runner-up. But there's this kind of this pressure. When are the Cardinals going to go out and get this big name? When are they going to go get this cornerstone player? Because it doesn't appear that a direct lock for one is headed up through the system. Do you see that being this offseason? Do you see it being this season? Do you see the Cardinals pulling the trigger on an outside addition that would kind of defy what has been their practice in the past?
Las Vegas 2018. I mean, there's going to be two sitting there, and St. Louis is one of the markets that the big boys like to play in. So I would say Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, you want that player that's going to be one of those two guys, and it's going to be December of 18, and it's going to be in Vegas. And, you know, that is a city and a market that premium players like to go. I know Machado preferences to stay in Baltimore, but let's be realistic. He hasn't signed there yet, and it doesn't appear that they're even talking. Bryce Harper has made it clear behind the scenes quietly that he wants to go to a really good baseball market, and he's not even in talks to extend past 2018 to stay in Washington. So, you know, I keep hearing Dodgers, Yankees, Cardinals as three places that he would like to play. I've not gotten that confirmed from Bryce himself, who doesn't comment on those things, but the intel that I'm getting from friends of his sound like those are three markets that he does like. So, you know, I would say for Cardinal fans, I would love to have one of those two guys in December of 18. That would probably fit what you need.
When you look at a trade the Cardinals made recently, Matt Adams goes to Atlanta. He's been incredible since he's been there. He's already had a walk-off home run, and I think he's had one game without a hit. He's on a four-game hitting streak since he's been starting the place of Freddie Freeman. In your opinion, are the Cardinals going to, in the long run, regret not finding a spot for Matt Adams? What do you make of that trade on its face value? I know we'll see how the kid that they got plays out, but what do you make of Matt Adams as a chance to play every day? Where might he end up when this is all said and done?
Yeah, you know, I was really surprised about the trade, only because in my conversations with both John Mozeliak and manager Mike Matheny, both of them made it very clear to me that they loved having that left-hand bat off the bench. Now, I understand they didn't like him in left field, and I understand Matt Carpenter's ahead of him, and I understand there's no DH role in the National League, and so it was a limited role. But I was really surprised for a contending team, for a team that's going to have to, you know, beat Arizona and Colorado and the Dodgers to get to the postseason. I was surprised that they gave him up for Yepes, to be honest with you, because the Matt Adams I saw in spring training had lost 25 pounds. He was the best shape I've ever seen. He didn't lose any strength. He didn't lose any flexibility. I thought he was swinging the bat great. Now, we know he's a platoon player only. You know, he doesn't hit left-handed pitching. He struggles with the defensive shifts that are put in front of him, but he was in such great shape in the bat plays. Now, is it worth trading a left-hand power hitter for Yepes? I mean, here's the thing. So when I called up Atlanta to find out, you know, their scouting report on Yepes, I talked to two guys in their system, and they told me that Yepes is a corner infielder, okay, first baseman, third baseman type, strong body, decent athlete, plus raw power to pull side, swing gets long, but has legitimate power, must learn to lay off pitches outside the strike zone, hard-nosed kid, good work habits, medium-level prospect. So I just say to myself, is a medium-level corner infielder, is that worth doing Matt Adams right now in May? You know, I mean, I understand if you want to make this deal in August because things aren't playing out the way you want, but I just thought it was a nice bat off the bench. It is really hard to get left-handed power off the bench. So, that, to be honest with you, that kind of surprised me a little bit. I understood it, and I was happy for Matt because I think he's going to go to Atlanta in that small ballpark because that's a bandbox, that new ballpark in Atlanta. Fly balls are just going to be home runs. He's going to do really well there. But, yeah, I was surprised. I really was.
There are some people here who reacted a similar way and wondered if it might be the precursor to another move. The Cardinals have some guys in Memphis that are playing well, but I think there are some folks going, okay, is this the kind of trade that you don't get and then the bigger moves come into picture? Do you think this was an appetizer for what's to come, or do you think they were just looking to unload Adams to free up some space?
Yeah, it wasn't an appetizer. Yeah, they wanted to free up the roster spot. Both the 25 and 40, apparently, from what I understand it. But this is not a precursor to another deal, I was told. This was straight up. And they also, you know, I was told they wanted to give Adams a chance to play. They wanted to respect him at his age and his opportunity to play every day, that they had a little compassion for where he was coming from, which is, I mean, I think that's goodwill to be that way. But, you know, I think you got to worry about yourself and trying to win. And I just liked having that bat off the bench again.
Jim, the bulldog of this pitching staff over the last few years has been Lance Lynn. He's been unbelievable again this year. He went 8 or 9 innings the other night at 120 pitches. He's going to be on the open market as a free agent after this season. I think obviously a lot of Cardinals fans would like to see him on there. He's an inning eater and a guy that can looks even better now than he did prior to Tommy John surgery. What sort of interest is he going to garner on the open market? I mean, a lot of people are saying he's going to be a $20 million a year guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get $20 million a year. I could be wrong. Because of the scarcity of starting pitching. So I could be wrong there. I think it'll be a little bit less than that, but I do think you're in the $15 to $17 million range. I'm a big Lance Lynn fan. In fact, I talked to him the other day when St. Louis was down here playing in Miami, and the reason I'm a big fan of his is that he always puts his team in a position to win a game. He can go down 3-0 in the first, and he'll hold you and give the team a chance to come back, tie it, and go ahead almost every time out. He's a bulldog, and I love those guys that live on fastball command. He and Bartolo Colon, no one throws a fastball more than he does. When I talked to Lance, I asked him directly if he wanted to stay in St. Louis, and he said absolutely that he did, that that's where he wants to be. It's all he knows. It's all he's been to. And so, you know, I like the fact that that's where he wants to be. So now it's a matter of fair market value, which, by the way, Lance reminded me he knows what that is. So he clearly understands the market. He also understands the fact that, you know, when you put this much time in, you deserve the right to go in the open market to see what's out there. But I did get the strong impression that if everything is equal, his preference would be to stay in St. Louis. And I also got the impression that the Cardinals were to come to him now and make an offer that was fair market value. I get the impression, and I could be wrong, that he would sign, that he's not one of those guys that necessarily has to get the free agency. But he is going to get paid because you know what you're getting with him. You're going to get 190 to 200 innings. You're going to get your 30 starts. And if the team gives you run support and plays defense properly, you're going to get 15 wins every year.
Jim, one more question before I let you go, and it's about the future of Randall Grichuk as an everyday player. Obviously, the Cardinals have high hope for him, though a young guy. The defense is there, and he's shown glimmers of hopes as far as the power production. But if a guy can't hit over 250 for a full season, what does his future look like? I know the Cardinals would dream about him, Piscotty, and Fowler being that cornerstone in the outfield for years to come, but what's realistic for the Cardinals if he keeps hitting 220, 230?
Yeah, so I failed on a lot of players like Grichuk as a general manager. So like in my 16 years of a GM, if you go back and look at what I failed on the most, it was guys like Grichuk. It was staying with guys that didn't have the hit tool too long. It was falling in love with all the tools that they have, because Grichuk can run. He's got a great arm. He's got great power. Grichuk isn't going to hit. Like, he doesn't have the hit tool. It's not going to come. He may make adjustments and get better, but he's not going to hit, to answer your question. And to play a corner, I need a guy that's going to hit. And he's not going to do that. So, you know, at some point they'll figure out he's a fourth outfielder, and that's what he is. And it's nothing against him. He's a great kid. I love his swag. You know, I think he's a really